On a recent crisp fall night, citizens packed a lecture hall in Hazard Community College for a contentious public hearing. Many came to tell representatives from the Office of Surface Mining that they think the proposed rule change is dangerous. They brought charts and bottled water samples to show how many streams mining had damaged or buried and how their wells and even lower creeks are drying up. Local resident Herbie Smith stepped up to the podium.
Joe Dade Branch, Frank's Creek.
He was naming streams he said could soon be lost. And Smith and others told the OSM reps seated behind a conference table on the stage that preserving the streams is about more than just preserving the hydrologic balance.
You know, we identify our communities by the stream of water that runs by them. We say to each other, I live over on Cowan Creek, or I live on Kingdom Come Creek. These streams are how we identify who we are.
Dozens more residents of the coal field stood up to recount how streams had been tainted or destroyed near their homes, usually under the leftovers from mountaintop removal mining. The current law requires mining companies to establish a buffer zone of at least 100 feet around streams. But the Environmental Protection Agency has documented the disappearance of more than 1,000 miles of streams in Appalachia. That's despite the stream buffer zone rule. And many claim the rule has never really been enforced. The proposed change to that rule would extend buffer zone protection to larger bodies of water, such as lakes, but it would also allow mining in or through a stream. A few coal miners and sympathizers spoke up in favor of the rule change. They argued that they improved water resources when they reclaimed a strip-mined site, and they said the rule change would help them navigate an already complex tangle of regulations. First, it's the Army Corps of Engineers that says yay or nay to a company's plan to do a valley fill, which is where strip miners scrape bare a valley and fill it with leftover rock and mine debris. But it's the Commonwealth of Kentucky that's charged with enforcing the stream buffer zone rule. And because watersheds and the baby beginnings of streams often start on mountains and flow down through valleys, the two permitting authorities intersect when it comes to protecting those streams. But Vermont Law School professor Patrick Parenteau says the Army Corps has been kind of an absent parent, giving strip miners a blanket authorization for valley fills.
They're authorizing that under what's called a nationwide permit. They don't do an individual assessment of each and every valley fill.
But Parenteau says the problem with that approach is that each valley and each stream or headwater within those valleys is different. What's more, in 1994, Kentucky legislators gave their own blanket approval, essentially to ignore the stream buffer zone rule for mines operating in watersheds smaller than about 500 acres. Patrick Parenteau.
And it's pretty clear that they haven't been enforcing this rule. Miles of headwater streams have been either totally destroyed or significantly degraded by valley fills, and you have to ask the question, how on earth could that happen?
The Office of Surface Mining says the stream buffer zone rule has been causing confusion since it appeared on the books, and it's time to clarify. But Washington, D.C.-based attorney for public justice, Jim Hecker, says that's not necessary.
The rule is clear on its face, and that's exactly what a federal judge said when we moved to enforce it in 2000. Judge Hayden said there's no question that valley fills violate this rule, but the Bush administration completely reversed that position.
Hecker says that's dangerous because the original rule was designed to protect much more than just tiny trickles of water.
It was designed to protect headwater streams, which are an incredibly productive and essential part of the whole hydrological system. In many ways, they're sort of the foundation of the aquatic community downstream.
But Kentucky Coal Association head Bill Kaler says the rule was never intended to protect what he and lawmakers call ephemeral streams, which he says are the kinds of streams most opponents of the rule change are talking about.
If you want to envision what an ephemeral stream looks like, the best I can describe it is more of a dry ditch. It's a water course that is filled only when it rains.
And Kaler says not being able to get within 100 feet of a so-called dry ditch would cripple mining because they couldn't mine anywhere. He says the industry inevitably affects the land, but they never destroy the kinds of streams he believes the Office of Surface Mining meant to protect. If it's unavoidable, they reroute the stream.
And it functions. Water still flows from point A to point B, and the biological functions will come back to these reconstructed streams.
But a visit to some neighbors of surface mining operations in southeastern Kentucky reveals that, at least on some properties, water isn't flowing the way it used to. And downstream, it's not as clean or as abundant. Many believe ephemeral streams play an important role in the overall hydrologic balance, and for that, they deserve protection too. But the law really doesn't require it. This is Lowell Shepherd's home place in Knott County. It's a compound of houses and sheds and a giant cage for several excited dogs. A few years ago, he leased most of his 51 acres to a coal company. So far, they've prepped the valley right behind his house to be filled. The trees have been cut down, all the vegetation removed, and what remains is a bald slope of dirt. Shepherd nods at the mountain. He says streams have already been covered.
Yeah, there was a stream here and then one back over here, and then see one comes out right there. There's really three streams.
He says those streams used to flow steadily all year round, but now they just trickle. And he says they're part of what feeds his drinking water well. And it's the same story just over the hill from Shepherd's place. Some of the streams and creeks in this hollow near Hueysville empty into the larger Raccoon Creek. They feed groundwater supplies, which in turn feed wells. They start at the top of the valleys, but more valley or hollow fills, as locals call them, are planned, which could affect or cover those streams. Dauvin Ratliff is one of the residents of this hollow. Standing outside his wood-shingled home, he says drought is no explanation for the low water levels.
We've had dry spells before, and still we had water in the streams. We had minnows, fish of all kinds in the streams, and it all happened from coal companies coming in.
Ratliff says those low levels are affecting his wells, and neighbors' wells have already dried up. He says the proposed change could relax the buffer zone rule even more.
They don't enforce the law anyway. The state won't come out and enforce it anyway, and what's the use to relax the law that they don't enforce anyway?
Kentucky Department of Natural Resources Commissioner Susan Bush says her inspectors do enforce the law. As for how so many miles of streams could have been covered without violating the current law, Bush says the state and the Army Corps of Engineers could have authorized those activities.
It's conceivable if you see a fill in a stream that as long as it's been approved in the permit, that is legal.
So how the region's watershed will be protected, whether the rule change takes effect or not, is still an unanswered question. The Federal Office of Surface Mining said it wouldn't comment for this story, but it is accepting public comment on the proposed rule change until November 23rd. For WFPL, I'm Kristen Espeland.